night that I have simply entitled, Where Are the Worshippers? Where are the worshipers? Worship is so very important to what we do. And I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what worship really is. You know, we clap our hands and we think that's the extent of worship, or we sing a song, we think that's the extent of worship. But worship is really much deeper than that. And I think we understand what praise is. You know, everybody, everything that hath breath, let them praise the Lord. But there is a deeper place of worship that God is wanting to take us, and a greater understanding. And so I want to read from the book of John, chapter 4. Jesus is interacting with the woman at the well. And we know that the woman at the well was a lady. She was a Samaritan. She did not expect for a Jewish man like Jesus to be speaking to her. He asked her for water, and she started relating her paradigm, her idea of what could happen, should happen, right? Well, you know, I'm a Samaritan. You don't even talk to me, right? And he said, well, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water, and I would give you water that you would never thirst again. And of course, he was talking about spiritual things. And he began to open her eyes. In fact, what is incredible about this interaction with Jesus and the Samaritan woman is that this is the first time that he reveals himself as Messiah. And so he's called these disciples, he's taught them, he's been with them, they've seen him do miracles, but he never really related to them the specifics of who he was. Of course, they suspected it, right? They knew he was a great teacher. They knew that he was a miracle worker. But here he reveals himself to this Samaritan woman and says that he is the Messiah. And of course, it's such a powerful interaction. And I think many times we don't even recognize this passage of scripture that we pull out sometimes. Not the one I have up here, but the one where it says, Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes, the fields are white unto harvest, right? We kind of pull that out and we talk about the harvest, but what we don't recognize is that is part of this story, because he tells her everything about her, right? She's been married 5 times, you're living with somebody that's not your husband, and so and she's just amazed and realizes that he is something very special. And so she goes back to the city. And in the meantime, I guess they probably cross paths. You know, the disciples come back from getting food and they meet him. And then Jesus points to the hills toward the city. And this woman has gone to town and told everybody about him. And so she, this one, I like to call her one wicked woman. She's just one wicked woman. She went into the town and told everybody, hey, the Messiah is at the well. He told me everything about myself. He knew who I was. And so she came back, and she came back with a great harvest. Amen. And so it's just an incredible thing that Jesus opened himself up to this woman that that religious society would not have claimed that she was worthy. And I love the way Jesus interacts with those that that religion may not claim to be worthy. Amen. Whosoever will, let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. Amen. Now, that's not my lesson tonight, but I'll just throw that in there. John 4 and 23, Jesus says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And here's the revelation. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What a powerful revelation. He is the Messiah. Amen. And then Job 1 and 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so this is our text for this short series that I just want to present to you. Where are the worshipers? Jesus tells this woman that the Father is seeking those to worship him. And he relates in that first verse that we read, he calls them true worshipers. Not just worshipers, but true worshipers. And I think it behooves us to understand what worship is, because God is seeking true worshipers, not just people that know how to clap or how to sing or how to play or when to show up and when to stand and when to sit. And it's so important that we come to church, but it's more important that we connect with what God is doing in the service. You know, sometimes we have a clock-in mentality. Well, I clocked in. I'm here. You know, hey, Pastor, I'm here. So you don't have to text me or call me later. I just want you to know that I'm here, right? And we think that just because we got here or we're in the house, then we're really here. But what God is really wanting for us on Sunday and for Wednesday and Tuesday night prayer and all of this, he's really wanting us to connect with him. Amen. And it's so important for us to do more than just be attenders, but we need to be worshipers. Amen. And worship is not just something we do. It's not just an action that we perform. But it should be, and it needs to be who we are. I want to be a worshiper. I don't want to just worship, but I want to be a worshiper. It's kind of like when I talk about giving. There's a difference between giving and being a giver. Sometimes we give for different reasons, right? So there's sometimes we give because we want to be seen, or we give because we feel obligated to give. We give because somebody asks us to give. But there's a difference between a giver and giving. Amen. And so we want to be givers. I want it to be a part of our character, right? The warp and the woof of our tapestry. I want it to be a part of who we are. I want us to be givers. And so we have great people in this church that they are just givers. Givers are always looking for a way to give, looking for a place to give. And I want to be a giver. I don't want to just give. I don't want to just give out of some other motivation. I want to be a giver. And that's really the same way it needs to be with worship. I don't want to just worship as an act, but I want to be a worshiper. When you are a worshiper, the atmosphere doesn't have to be right. The song doesn't have to be right. The lapel mic doesn't have to be sounding just perfect. Right? When you are a worshiper, it doesn't matter if whatever's being sung is your style or not. Amen. Or if it's being played properly or not. Because when you are a worshiper, worship is just an outflow of who you are. And when somebody begins to talk about the object of your worship, it's not long until your heart joins in the song. It's not long until your heart, your character joins in with the process of worship. Because we want to not just we don't want to just worship, we want to be a worshiper. And so praise and worship versus true worship is really a depth issue. Now, there's nothing wrong with praise. I love praise. There's nothing wrong with songs. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with the lyrics. All of that sort of thing has a part of it. But Worship is much deeper than that. That's just a surface level. And so praise and worship versus true worship. Praise, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise is powerful, but worship is on a whole different level. Because worship is not about what God does. It is about who He is. And He wants us, and He desires us, not just to be connected with Him, but He wants to have a relationship with us. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And if we are connected to Him, then the natural outgrowth of our life will be fruitful. And when we struggle living for God, and we struggle worshiping, and we struggle moving in the Spirit, there's usually a disconnect somewhere. There's a disconnect. Our motivation may not be in the right place. And so many times we worship God for what He does. And it's kind of like if somebody gives you a gift, you know, you're like, oh, thank you so much for giving me a gift. And then when they don't give you a gift, you know, well, okay, they don't really like me. And sometimes we treat God that way. When our health is good, when our finances are good, when our relationships are going the way they should, when the sun's shining, when everything is going our way, then we praise God because of all the good things in our life. But it's more than that, because worship is not about what God does, it's who He is. Because God is always good, whether you feel good or not. He's always good. Whether your life is good, whether your relationships are good, where everything is going your way or not, He's still good. In fact, the Bible says there's none good but God. The word good is one of those things that we have kind of stretched its meaning where it's so thin and almost meaningless. You know, everything's good. The burger's good. The chocolate's good. The coffee's good. The water's good. You know, whatever. But the Bible says there's none good but God. And it's not wrong to use the word good. There's nothing wrong with that. But what the Bible is telling us is that the true definition of good is represented in who God is. And so our lifestyle, our heartbeat, our motivation needs to be based on who He is, not what He does for us. Because He's always good, He's always holy, He's always right, He's never wrong. He can't lie, He can't fail, He can't change. But too many worship God's performance, but He wants us to worship His person. He wants us to worship who He is. That's why when the Revelation said there's going to be many come to Him in that day and say, He's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. Well, they said, well, we cast out devils in your name. We prayed in your name. We healed in your name. But there's a difference between performing an act in His name and really knowing who He is and having an intimate relationship with Him. And we can't do that without real worship. We can't do that without real communication. We have got to be connected to Him and through Him, and we have our being in Him. Everything that we do in our mind, our heart, needs to be centered upon worshiping Him. And this is why I've always told you that it is more important to walk than it is to sing. I love singing. I sing all the time. You can ask my wife. I have default songs that I go to in my head. And sometimes I don't even know I'm singing them. And he goes, oh, here he goes again, you know. Ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. It'll be all over in the morning. I don't even have to be thinking. It just comes up, right? When I look back on the road I've traveled. I sing these songs. It just comes to my mind. But it's more important. It's more important for me to walk with Him. than it is for me to sing to him or about him. The greatest worship song that you and I will ever sing is trust and obedience. Because trust is built in knowledge of who he is. And obedience is built in just obeying his commands, what he wants. Amen. And so you can sing all you want to, but if you live like the devil, it doesn't really count. It, you know, everything that hath breath can praise the Lord. But there's a power. Too many people worship God's performance, but he wants us to worship his person, who he is, right? It's not based on what he does. That's why I put in our text this scripture from Job. Because if you know the story of Job, this first chapter is filled with tragedy, right? He starts off the chapter, he has everything. He's a rich man, he has everything he can imagine. He has seven sons and daughters. He's got all the cattle he could keep. He's got all the herds of camels and everything that he could have. And one by one, they get taken away from him. And one person comes and tells him, hey, I was out there with your camels and somebody came down and got them. They're gone. And I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. Hey, somebody else, they came and got your other herds and I'm the only one to escape. And then I was in the house with your sons and your daughters and a whirlwind came and knocked the house down and killed all of your children and their servants and I'm the only one. Amen. Boom, boom, boom. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, I can't sing now. I can't play now. I can't dance now. I can't worship now. But the Bible says that Job arose. He rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. What a weird time to worship. Well, God, everything's going my way. I guess I'll worship you today. Everything's happening the way I hoped it would. I guess I'll worship you today. No, Job worshiped when everything was wrong, when everything went bad, right? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job was not just somebody that worshiped. He was a worshiper. That's who he was. That's who his character was. And so when everything was taken away from him, he worshiped. Amen. Too many of us base our worship, our song, our walk on what we get from God. We fast and pray to get something from God instead of to have a relationship with him. You know, fasting is not twisting God's arm to get him to do something you want him to do. Fasting is to get yourself out of the way. Like John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. Prayer is not about getting what you want. It's about relationship with him so that you can want what you get. So that you can appreciate what you have. So that you can have a relationship and you can be fruitful. He can hear your voice and you can hear his voice. And he can lead you and guide you and move you and help you and strengthen you and just allow you to be a part of what he has in store for the world. Amen. Philippians 3 and 10, Paul wrote the church at Philippi, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Bible also says that whatever happens to us is for our good, right? It is for our good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so no matter what happens to us, if we love God and we're called according to his purpose, then we can operate in that process. If it's the power of his resurrection, yeah, that's great. Everybody wants that, right? But sometimes it's in the fellowship of his suffering. That's not as easy to worship in. But if you're a worshiper, then you will. And notice what Paul says, his revelation. Because of the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, now I am being made conformable unto his death. And if we can be made conformable unto his death, then we will live in his light. We will live in his way. Amen. We don't always get what we want. But when we walk according to love and purpose, then we will always be what he wants. Hebrews 11 tells us, we call it the hall of faith, right? All these, they wrought righteousness. They made the armies of the aliens to run, and they defeated the enemies and all this thing. They raised the dead to life again. All these things that they did. And then it gets to verse 13, and it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's important for us to recognize that these people died in faith. They still had faith. They still had hope. They still had dreams. But they died in their faith. They died in their hope. They died in their dreams, not having received the promise. But they just kept on walking. They kept on living. They kept on being a worshiper. He is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so here we are today. So many times we are people of feeling, right? If we feel good, we're happy. If we don't feel good, we're not happy. If we feel good, we worship. If we don't feel good, we don't worship. If everything's going our way, then we're at peace. Nothing's going our way, we're not at peace. The key is that we have to trust God. And so the ultimate worship, right, is trust and obedience. It's trust and obedience. We've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. We've got to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And so in our ways, we recognize when we don't feel like getting up and moving forward, we get up and move forward. Amen. Some of the strongest people I know are people that feel like giving up. And it's okay to feel like giving up. Aren't you glad? Anybody ever feel like giving up? Anybody ever feel like Elijah? You know, you come off the mountain, you defeated 450 prophets, and then you get a note, a message from one wicked woman. There's another wicked woman. Oh, Jezebel says, before this day's over, I'm going to kill you. He just killed 450 prophets. And one woman said he's going to kill him. And he runs for the hills and hides. And then he starts praying, God, I'm no better than my fathers. Why don't you just kill me now? I would love to tell you that I have never asked for the Lord to take. Just take me now. Just take me. Just get me out of here. I'm ready, right? That's why Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, man, if I live, I got a cross I've got to bear. It's Christ, right? It's a process. It's painful. But if I die, then boom, it's over. I'm receiving my reward. That's what Paul understood. And so it's the same way with us. Sometimes we just want the Lord to take us now. You know, I've prayed this before. Lord, if I'm ready, take me now. If I'm not ready, give me a chance to get ready because I don't want to be lost, right? But we've got to realize that whether we're up or whether we're down, God is still good. And this little space on earth this 70 years, 80 years, some less, some more, however long God gives you on this earth, hallelujah, it's going to be so tiny, amen, compared to eternity. And that's why I always teach you that you got to put on your eternity glasses. Because everything looks different when you put on your eternity glasses. When I don't have them on, man, I'm overwhelmed, I'm hurt, I'm in pain, I'm in suffering, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I'm just going to go eat worms, you know. But when I put on my eternity glasses, I recognize, hey, God's working something out in me. I don't feel good. I feel like I'm on the wheel, you know. He's kneading all the bad stuff out of me. He's trying to get me to the point where he can fire me up and put me in the heat of the battle, right? But it doesn't feel good at the time. But when I have my eternity glasses on, then I recognize, hey, all things work together for good. When I'm going downhill and everything's easy and the sun's shining and the money's in the bank and I feel good in my body, it's good for me. But when I'm going uphill and everything's rocky and everything's hard and the car won't start and the tire's flat and the kids are crying and the wife's not happy with you, whatever it is, amen, that seldom happens because I'm so good to her. See, I got the mic, see? It's the power of the mic. You don't get to hear the other side of the story. But anyway, whatever it is, God help her, she's got to deal with me all the time. But anyway, that's another story for another day. We'll talk about that, the marriage enrichment. But when everything's not going good, it's still working. I'm still blessed. It's working something in me or out of me. And I think that's what we have to recognize, is that he is seeking true worshipers that will worship him on the mountain. Anna preached to us last Wednesday. Worship him on the mountain, worship him in the valley, and worship him in between. The plain, she called it. Sometimes it's difficult to see what God is doing. And that's what Job also said, right? I've looked to the north, the south, the east, the west. I can't find him. I've looked where he used to work over here on the left-hand side. I can't perceive what he's doing. But I know he knows where I am. And that's the ultimate worship. It's, look, I have no idea what you're doing, why you're doing it. It doesn't make any sense to me, right? I mean, just look at the church right here, this church. We finish a remodel, we're ready, we're having great revival, we're baptizing people, we're excited about the new sanctuary, all that stuff, and then the roof collapsed. If you think I haven't asked the Lord why, you're crazy. What in the world are you doing? What is going on? And here I am, you know, I'm behind the scenes, I'm a nervous wreck. I'm stressed. I'm crying. And then, you see me come out here and smile and say everything's going to be okay. Amen. But you know what? It is going to be okay. Amen. I wasn't being fake, but I had to get a hold of myself. Amen. Lord, I looked here, I looked there, I looked there, I looked there. I have no idea what you're doing. But I do know this. I know you know where we are. And I know you have a plan. And I know the same day, the Thursday that it happened, my wife and I got in the car and drove up in front of this building and the door was open. We didn't break and enter, we just entered. We walked down that hall and we walked around that way and came in here. And I told her, I said, this may be it right here. And then, you know, for the next month, we're trying to find somebody that owns it and getting tossed to and fro from back and forth and calling everybody we know, and here we are. And I was walking through this place last night as we was praying. I'm a pacer. When I pray, I kneel for a few minutes, but then I'm a pacer. I just walk around. And I got back by that door, and I heard myself say, this is hard to say sometimes for a guy like me that looks at everything and sees how it looks, right? I got back there and I said, Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you for this place. For the red carpet and the red chairs and the 500 different, yeah, thank God for the lights being low. Why do you keep the lights so low, Pastor? Well, you don't really want to see the walls. Amen. But you got to, the greatest worship is just recognizing, I trust you. I trust you with the good reports. I trust you with the bad reports. I trust you with the mountains and the valleys and in between. I trust you with all of it. And so when you can worship, when you lose everything that is dear to you, amen, like Job did, he lost his children. He lost his wealth. Amen. Ultimately, the enemy went back to God and got permission to touch his body and lost his health.
Amen.
He just told him he couldn't kill him, is the only thing he told him. But you know what? I'll tell you something. Job didn't know that God led him. Job didn't know that God put a chain on the enemy. So when he's got boils breaking out on his body and he's hurting so bad and he's sitting there scraping his sores, that sounds terrible, scraping his sores with pieces of pottery, you know what? He didn't know if he's going to live or not. The Lord didn't come down and say, hey, Job, I'm letting him try you, but you're not going to die. He didn't tell him the first set of news, hey, I took everything, I had him take everything, but he's not going to touch your body. That's the way it is with us. God doesn't give us the bigger picture. Amen. First of all, if he gave us the bigger picture, it would scare us to death. Hallelujah. But when you can worship when you don't know what he's doing. And I'll tell you the secret to that. Here's the secret. When you can worship because you don't know what he's doing, you worship because you know who he is. Okay, let me give you an example, because worship demands a sacrifice. So Genesis 22:6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Okay. It's very familiar to us. Sometimes worship demands a sacrifice. The Bible calls Abraham, in fact, God himself calls Abraham his friend. He had a relationship with him. When it came time to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, can I keep this from my friend? It was a relationship. There was a dynamic there that Abraham was not just worshiping, he was a worshiper. Now, God had already told Abraham, hear this, God had already told Abraham, look, you went and tried to do it your own way, and now you have the son Ishmael, but I don't choose Ishmael. I choose Isaac. This is not the seed. Isaac is the seed. So fast forward to the book of Hebrews in the same place that we find our scripture about those that didn't receive their promise by faith, Abraham. He offered up his son, listen, knowing that God was able to raise him up. True worship is built in knowledge and relationship. And so here is Abraham. He has the chosen seed of Isaac. God chose him to be the one that his nation was going to come out of, right? His nation was going to be like the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. Abraham, I don't choose Ishmael, I choose Isaac. This is the one. This is mine. And then God says, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, and I want you to offer him to me. And so here Abraham takes the knife, he takes the wood, he takes the fire, he takes the sacrifice up the hill. And the boy recognizes it. Well, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire. You know, you got the knife on your side. Where's the lamb? I think he's starting to get a little nervous here. What's going on? Because he can see. I'm a father. There's fathers in here. Can you imagine having to offer your son as a sacrifice? And so you can imagine the concern on his face and probably tears rolling down his face as his son was asking this question. And then he speaks prophetically, right? He says, well, the Lord himself shall provide a sacrifice. And boy, didn't he. He provided it that day in the temporary, but he provided it in the permanent as Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? But you have to recognize this is the nuance of this story. He said, I see the fire, I see the wood, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, his words were the worship song. He didn't know what God was doing. He didn't know why God was doing it. He didn't understand, this is my son. This is the one you promised me. This is the one we waited so long for. This is the one you told me. He's the one. He's the chosen one. He's the one that's going to bring the nation that you promised me out of me. Here, he is the vehicle that you're going to make stars of the sky and sands of the sea. He's the one. But here I am marching up the hill to sacrifice the one that you chose. And so now, Abraham sings the most perfect worship song, and he says, don't worry about it, son. God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
By faith, Abraham offered his son. Notice the book of Hebrews. It says it as if he did it. It gave him the credit for doing it. Brother Matt, when the angel stopped him before he did it. But in his heart and in his mind, the worship had already taken place because his worship was, what's the worship song? Trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. The Lord himself shall provide a sacrifice. Himself a sacrifice. The Lord is going to do that, and so I'm going to obey him. And by faith, Abraham offered his son, knowing that God was able to raise him up. You have to realize, here this is unprecedented. Okay, in the New Testament, we can look back and we can read in the Torah, the Old Testament that they had at the time, and we can see where the prophet Elisha's bones were in the grave. They tossed the soldier in, and he came out alive. So resurrection was precedented. But when Abraham said that God was able to raise him up, it was an unprecedented miracle. God had never raised anybody from the dead before. God had never given anybody new life again. And so Abraham stretched beyond the resources that he had. He stretched beyond the words that he had. He didn't have a Bible to read. He didn't have a preacher. He didn't have a church to go to. But Abraham's faith reached beyond, because Abraham was not just worshiping. He was a worshiper, because he had an understanding that if God called me to do it, he's going to make a way and get me out of it. And so you and I have to realize that sometimes worship demands a sacrifice. But that's all right, because whatever the sacrifice is, God's got it. God can handle it. And I promise you, if it's painful today, don't worry about it. One day, you're going to be able to sing a song about it. One day, you're going to be able to dance about it. One day, you're going to be able to thank God for it. And so right now, why don't you reach past it? Oh, come, I know it's Wednesday night. I know I'm supposed to be teaching, but sometimes you just got to reach past what you've seen. Reach past what you perceive with your own senses and say, well, I haven't seen him do it before, but he can do it. That's the difference between praising and worshiping and being a worshiper, because worshiping is something that is predicated on how you feel. But being a worshiper is predicated on who he is. Don't worry about it, son. God himself shall provide a sacrifice. Well, I don't know what you're doing, God. I don't know why you allowed this, why you allowed that. Why didn't you stop that? Why didn't you stop this? I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Because which one of us hasn't shaken our fist at God's? What do you even care? What are you doing? But we got to get to the place of relationship where we are firmly grafted into the vine. And we can say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. It hurts so bad. I don't even understand it right now. But I know you know. I know you know where I am. I don't know what you're doing in me, but I know when I get to the other side,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
it will be worth it all.
Hallelujah.
When we see Jesus,
hallelujah,
life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all trials will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. It's going to be worth it all. How do you know that? Well, I know him.
Amen.
How do you know that you can endure what you're in right now? Well, I've been here before. It wasn't the exact same thing, but it was an impossible situation. I thought I couldn't survive it before, but I did.
Amen.
I have a great cloud of witnesses around me that I haven't been through what they've been through. In fact, many people have been through something greater than me. There's people sitting in this house that have lost children. I can't even imagine losing children. Young or old, it doesn't matter what age they are. I can't imagine it. But they're still here.
Hallelujah.
They're still worshiping. They're still loving. They're still singing. They're still trusting, and they're still obeying. Amen.
Jesus.
Praise God. God is seeking such to worship him. Well, Abraham, why are you going up the hill without a sacrifice? Well, God is going to provide. Amen. His true worship is born in knowledge and understanding, spirit and truth. Our spirit, our emotions, His Spirit, relationship with Him. We've got to connect with Him in a way that we have a greater understanding. Amen. And we trust that everything is going to be revealed in time. When we get there, the Bible says we will be known as He is known.
Amen.
When we get there, I believe that there's going to be a light that goes off in our brain.
Come on.
I believe when we step across, the trumpet sounds, we rise up to meet Him in the air. There's going to be something that goes off in our brain. And we're going to go, oh.
Amen.
That's what that was about.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's what you were doing. That's what was going on in my walk with you. Whether God allowed it or God caused it. Sometimes God just allows it. But when you allow Him and you are called according to His purpose and you stay in love with Him, when you stay in love with Him, even when you don't understand, He rent His mantle. He shaved His head. He fell down on the ground. Job, what are you doing? His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? But Job says, I can't find Him. Honey, I've looked for Him. I've tried to figure out what He's doing. And I can't seem to find Him. I have no idea. I wish I had the answers, right? But this one thing I do know. He knows the way that I take.
Amen.
Can you worship Him with a knife? Can you worship Him when you don't understand what He's doing? I'm so amazed at the things we hold on to, right? The things that we want to do, we want to be, we want to experience. That God's just saying, look, if you let go of it, I'll give you something greater.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people have trouble coming in to the truth because they feel like the sacrifices are greater than what they're coming into. Some people come into the truth. They're born again, and then they calculate the lifestyle cost, right? Well, I don't want to dress like that or be like that. God's saying, look, I got so much more for you.
Amen.
And that's the same way it was with Abraham, right? Give me your son, your only son. And he stopped him. He said, now I know. And in blessing, I will bless you. And those that curse you, I will curse them. And I'm going to give you the land that you walk on. In fact, he even got to a point where he said, look out over the horizon as far as you can see. So that means as Abraham walked with God, the further he walked, the further he could see. And the further he could see, the more was promised to him. And then Job, the Bible says in the latter days of Job were greater than the former. Well, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to surrender it. But what you are surrendering is so small compared to what He wants to give you. Not only in this life, but as I said, it will be worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. Can we stand? Can we stand? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all trials will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. Oh, could we just clap our hands unto the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and let's surrender to Him all over again? Lord, I may not understand what You're doing. I may not understand what You're wanting. But I want You to know, Lord, that I trust You. I trust You, hallelujah. And I know when I make it there, I'm going to look back and everything's going to be clear. I'm going to look back and I'm going to know it. I'm going to understand it. I'm going to realize what You have done and what You have built in me. Lord, I want to be a worshiper. I don't want to just sing. I don't want to just praise. I don't want to just go through the motions, Lord, but I want to be a worshiper. I want to worship You when the sun is shining, when the rain is falling, when the ocean is calm and the breeze is light. I want to worship You. Or when the storms are raging, I want to worship You, because You are worthy. You are worthy. I worship who You are. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. Mighty God, I exalt You, Lord. I praise You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, where are the true worshipers? Where are the worshipers? Hallelujah. Worshipers don't have to be prodded. Worshipers don't have to be coddled. Worshipers don't have to have everything going their way. We're just worshipers. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the Holy Ghost is in the house today. Amen, amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, You see the sweet people under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, You see the things that they have been facing, the questions that arise in all of our hearts and all of our minds. Lord, I want You to know today that we as a church, we trust You. We trust You. Lord, I want this to be a church of true worshipers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want You to know us. I want You to know us. I want You to trust us as we trust You, Lord. When You answer, I trust You. When You're silent, I trust You. When You give me the answer that I want, Lord, I trust You. When You say no, Lord, I trust You. In Your name, Lord. In Your name, amen. Amen, amen. God is so good. He's so good. Thank You, Jesus. Just let that soak in right now. Let just a deep trust and obedience take over our minds and our hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, we trust You. We love You. I love You, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are holy. You are righteous. You are good all the time, Lord. You are faithful even when I am not faithful. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the Holy Ghost is confirming His word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 It's more than a song. It's more than a melody. It's trust and it's obedience. It's trust and it's obedience. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I trust you. I obey you, Lord. Thank God. Can we just put our hands together for the Lord tonight? He's so worthy. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I love Wednesday nights. Amen. What a beautiful night to be in His presence. Amen. Make sure you love one another. If you see somebody around here that you haven't met yet, make sure you introduce yourself. Let's get to know one another, not just be connected to Him, but you got to be connected to them. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.